Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all. Hey, by a raised hand, has anyone ever been to like an ill-advised Bible study, an ill-advised Sunday school lesson, an ill-advised meeting?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, this may be the most ill-advised Sunday school we've done in a while. We're going to revisit something that happened 2 weeks ago when I was doing that overnight in the hospital with my mom, and Joe was preaching and I wasn't here. We ended up visiting the religious exemption statement that the CREC had issued. And so I want to revisit that a little bit here today, and even in the last 16 hours or so, those who are on the CREC list, you know, the whole world is coming apart over this kind of a thing. So we're just going to work through some of these things, and I want this Sunday school lesson to be something where, you know, we can voice our level of understanding with each other and help each other and just work through some of the complexity of this, because there are just a thousand different angles at which we all are now needing to navigate, you know, what is a biblical response to the COVID, the role of the government, what are the role of religious rights and all those sorts of things. So let's stand together. We'll sing Psalm 149. Referred to Psalm 49 as representing for us the fact that the church is the conscience of the nation. On nations, thus to take revenge and punish heathen folk, to chain their kings and on their chiefs to bind an iron yoke. Okay, that sounds like we have authority and power that reaches across our ecclesiastical sphere into their realm of the civil government. On them, the judgment execute don't execute the people, right? Execute judgment, right? Found written in his word. That means it's not my opinion. If something is clearly in violation to the word of God, that's when we have voice. That's when we have power. That's when we have authority. On them the judgment execute, not just our whims or what we want to do or what we don't want to do. On them the judgment execute, found written in his word. This honor all his faithful have, the lowliest saint, has a voice against a king according to the word and in concert with the word. This honor all his faithful have, oh, do ye praise the Lord. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this psalm and, Lord, for this foray here again into this subject matter that is pressing upon us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, as a congregation, as a denomination, as individuals. Lord, we thank you that we are free men in Christ. We thank you, we praise you for your goodness. We also thank you, Lord God, that we are placed in a community and we are called upon to love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us work through these things. Father, we see such a close nexus between civil and religious rights. Lord, help us also see a nexus between civil and religious obligation and responsibility in that corporate way. Father, we pray that you would help us. Guide our discussion here. Unify us as a body. Unify us as a people. We pray, Lord, that you would give grace and guidance to us. Continued grace and guidance and forbearance, Lord, to the CREC and those who are leading that group. And we ask that you would help us today. Thank you so much, Lord, for the grace that abounds in our lives and the grace that abounds in this land. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I almost purposely decided to just keep praying until it became about 10 after 10 and then I wouldn't have to deal with anything. We have this handout here and... you know, I remember specifically by way of email when I asked the elders as I was dealing with my mom is, you know, can I kind of come out follow through with the Sunday school and Joe was preaching and they graciously granted that to me. And as I was talking with Terry in particular and I think the one particular email went to all the elders, I said, please do not start a war. And they did it. So it was a good, I heard the Sunday school lesson. It was very good. It was a good discussion. How many here remember it? I hope some of you folks remember that about the statement that we have on the back. Well, earlier in the week, like Monday or so, there were a couple of things bubbling up in the CREC about this religious exemption and the statement they had made. And I thought, gee, maybe this is a good time for us to revisit that. Because while we had a good conversation here, we didn't necessarily come to any conclusions about it. And I'm not so sure we're going to be able to come to conclusions today either, but I felt like our discussion was good and healthy. And it's good for us to hear from each other. And not only that, I felt like it was humbling for all of us because we learned things that we didn't know before. Because, you know, I mean, all of us have a certain amount of information and we get this information and we kind of go off. Sometimes half-cocked, right? Ready to pull the trigger. And we don't have more information. And so I think it was humbling in that sense because I learned some things. And when we get to the point where we talk about vaccines and fetal cell tissue and things like that, you know, there's a lot of shoot from the hip guys who say, oh, hell, this, and so that, we all run this way. And then we hear something else and then maybe we'll run that way. Some of these things are more complicated than at first glance. Boy, if I lose my voice, that would even be great. Happens to me every Sunday school. I don't know why. So anyway, here we are again for further discussion and understanding. And you, I think, had access to this 2 weeks ago, right? They had that, right? And if we read through this, and I've read through this many, many, many times, and there's a whole bunch about this that I think is, wow, come on, guys, you're coming on really forcefully here, as opposed to simply strong. When I say strong, I don't mean I completely agree with it. I mean you're coming on very forcefully. But in my most recent views of this, I don't see anything in here which really directly says that the CREC is going to author or issue religious exemptions. I mean, that may be a presumption that they're going to do that. It may be what would be expected after you read something like this. But really, the appeal here is to all the other institutions in the world to honor a religious exemption if it comes your way. That's how I read it. That may be too generous of a reading, by far. And again, Mike, I, Terry, and maybe some others who have talked about this don't even ourselves see necessarily eye to eye about this. But this is a statement that is a part of our ruling documents as a denomination, and they certainly are appealing to government, schools, employers, last paragraph, and other institutions to respect religious convictions and uphold these things as requested. So, I mean, maybe I'm splitting a hair too finely there, but I don't see a mandate for us to issue religious exemptions. And I say all that to say, not at all that I don't think mandating vaccinations are a horrible idea. I believe that with all my heart. Now, there may be even disagreement about that, okay? But the idea of mandating vaccination is something that, at this point in my journey through this, I would oppose. And so the degree to which I would like the CREC to, like, let's slow down and think about this a little bit, is this idea that it's for religious reasons. Okay? Now, to me, it just feels like way more of a civil violation, a violation of civil rights, than a violation of religious rights. And I say that because there's a whole bunch of people out there who have never darkened the door of a church, who have the same conundrum that we have. They may be deathly afraid of the vaccine. They don't want to lose their job. And if their government, if their employer, rather, is forcing them to get a vaccine at the risk of losing their job, they're in the same boat as us, and I feel for them. And yet, do they have a religious exemption? No, but ought not they have the same recourse as us? So it seems to me that these mandated vaccines go beyond a narrower, are you following me so far? They go beyond a narrower religious exemption. Now again, if we're at war, hey, you know, and somebody, you know, somebody's breaking in my house and wants to murder all my kids, you know, do I really care if I, well, you know, I say to the guy who comes in, oh, they're that way when they're really that way, or I tripped a guy on the way in. Tripping people isn't really a very nice thing to do biblically, right? So, you know, can it be used? I mean, maybe there's some room for it there. But I think the CREC needs to be really careful about playing this religious exemption card. And the reason for that is that I don't want to weaken it when we really, really need it, when we come up against something that really, truly is a violation of our religious rights. I don't want to be viewed as the camp that says, oh, these are the people who just object to everything, right? So we want to be careful about that. Now, having said that, there's this debate about civil rights versus religious rights, and, you know, there really is this connection between them. I'm going to go back to maybe 1990, and the whole fellowship hall was covered with pictures of our founding fathers and all their quotes. John Robinson, right? He was one of our founding guys, and he says, there is not a single instance in all of history where civil rights have been violated and religious rights, you know, were held in their entirety. So he knew that there was a connection. When Madison wrote the founding documents for the Constitution, He said, these things are just tied together. And when you break the foundation of one, you're necessarily weakening the foundation of the other. So I get it, that they're tied. And yet, in this instance here, I don't see where, you know, this is a particular, the mandating of someone to be vaccinated in terms of losing their job. See, the other side of this argument is that these institutions can run their business any way they choose. If I'm a mom and pop store, and so Karen and I, we have Karen's little cookie here, kitchen, and we're selling cupcakes here, and we decide that no one can be an employee or no one can come and be a customer at our store, or no one can be a patron, you know, unless they're vaccinated. Don't we have rights to run our store that way? Now, we may lose business, right? People may not want to come. People may not want to, you know, work for us, but we have rights too. And so we want to be careful what we're opposing. This is a complicated issue. We need to be really, really careful. And for me, one of the most helpful scriptures in this whole debate, and it's very complicated and there are a number of different levels, but here's one. And so if you have your Bible, I just want to read this story. And I know many people have already said, you know, Jesus says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto God that which is God, you know, and all this stuff is not Caesar's. Well, I think this passage in Matthew 17, 24 through 22, 24 through 27, puts a different nuance on it, at least. And again, the book of Matthew is particularly written to the Jews. Now, it's for all of us, right? But the first audience were Jews, okay? They weren't really friends with the Romans. Got it? Right? They weren't really friendly. And so, they didn't really want to do any favors for the Herods or the Pilates or the Caesars. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute, that tax money, right, came to Peter and said, does your master pay the taxes? Does he pay tribute? And Peter said, yes. That's Peter, right? Whether that's right, wrong, whatever, that's impetuous Peter just saying yes. Did Jesus want him to say that? Who knows? Did he pay taxes prior? I don't know, but Peter said yes. And so Peter then returns to the house, and he comes into the house. But before he even says anything, Jesus speaks first to him, and he says, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom tribute? Where does the money come from? Who pays the taxes? Their own sons or strangers? And Peter said unto him, it's strangers. The king's son, Pilate's son, isn't going to pay taxes, right? The king, Caesar's sons aren't going to pay taxes. It's going to be all the, the serfs out there, right? All you little folks out there. Jesus said unto him, then are the sons free. And how's Jesus thinking here? Jesus saying, you know what? God is my father. I am his son. Right? I have rights that no earthly king is going to violate. I have possessions that are a part of my being, my livelihood. You know, and if you look at any kind of elaboration about the commandments, it's not only about, thou shalt not kill, but when you destroy a man's livelihood, in a sense, you're killing him. So Jesus is saying the sons are free. And I think we can easily extrapolate and say, we're free. God is our Father. Well, verse 27 says this, so remember this. You're not reading it right now, and remember this for your Bible. Go home, look at it later. Jesus says this in 26, the sons are free. 27, he says this, notwithstanding, some translations, nevertheless, lest we should offend them. You go down to the sea, cast a hook, take up a fish that first comes up, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you, meaning his followers ought to participate in the same sort of thing. Now, I mean, this passage has its own intrigue, it has its own complexity to it, but it sounds like Jesus is saying, relinquish your rights. Be inconvenienced. I mean, that's the story of our lives in the 20th century with increased government intrusion, correct? Be inconvenienced, right? So my point is, I don't think we should have the posture that says, anytime the civil government comes, whether it's, you know, so whether I'm feeling like I am defending myself by a religious or a civil defense, I ought to not get my shotgun out and say, who are you? Bang, I'm a child of the king. You have no say in my life. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time. We're wearing seatbelts, right? We stop at stop signs, right? We sometimes drive the speed limit. And if we get, and normally, okay, I've gotten a speeding ticket before, but I paid the fine. I didn't run to my pastor and say, will you give me a religious exemption from paying my $200 speeding ticket? I've never done that. I paid the fine. And if this legitimately is a civil rights issue, the way civil rights have always been advanced and have success and progress is through civil disobedience. What is more effective? For me to get a religious exemption or for all of us to say, if we decided we shouldn't get vaccinated? And so there's another level to this, right? What would be the best way to advance our cause? It would be for Americans en masse to say, we're not getting vaccinated. And guess what? All these companies that are, you know, call their bluff. Are you really going to fire 200 million workers and destroy yourself and your own business? I mean, you know, from a tactic standpoint. So my position is, and again, I'm going to offer for other guys to chime in here, and largely, anytime you want, please do that. But my position is that religious exemption can be a path here, but I think it's weak. I would rather the CREC didn't go that path. I'd rather they didn't do that. But they've really kind of put our denomination in a little bit of what I think is a mess. Now, so I'm going to move on just really quickly here. We can return to any of this. And I guess I want to, before I leave Matthew 17 on your handout, I want to remind you that Matthew was written to the Jews. This must have just boiled their blood for Jesus to say to them, hey, be inconvenienced. You know, we don't want to offend them, you know. We're going to inherit all things, right? We have eternal life that we're going to enjoy here. Not that any of this is easy. I'm going to move on to fetal cell matters here. Now, last time it came up, there was a difference discussed about the Johnson & Johnson, which is produced with fetal cell tissue in its production, of the vaccine. The other two, Moderna and Pfizer, the other common ones in the United States, were developed in their experimental phase using fetal cell tissue, all right? But they're not produced that way, okay? So if you have a moral objection that way, just know the difference between Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. But this little listing that I have here, Mike was kind enough to email this here, so that MB is all about Mike. But Mike reminds us here in this list, and he didn't develop this, but some of the guys did, that the Pfizer and the Moderna, they were tested to produce them, but they're not. It's not in production now, but they were tested to produce, they used fetal cells to produce their vaccine. But then they list a whole bunch of other over-the-counter medications. I wonder if any of you have ever used any of these. Tylenol, Advil, Motrin, ibuprofen, aspirin, Aleve, Sudafed, Benadryl, Claritin, Robitussin, Mucinex. What's the next one say? Tums, oh my goodness. Maalox, Exlax, Pepto-Bismol, Preparation H. And this is only a small list. There's a whole bunch of other things in the world. And my point is this, are you really going to file a religious exemption while you're downing your Tums every day, right? For about the experimental use, not the production of the vaccine, but the experimental use of fetal cell tissue in the vaccine. Just go through it. And I'm not trying to give you an answer. This is for you guys to decide. I'm just saying, you know, how big do we want our hypocrisy to be? What hill are we really wanting to die on? And another part of the debate that I came across this week is this idea that, if I have a massive heart attack, and they say that they need to get me an organ donor heart immediately, and they have one, and that person was murdered. Should I say, I am not going to take the heart of a murdered person. I'm not going to take the eyeballs. I need a new eye. I'm not going to take the liver. I'm not going to take whatever. Pick your organ, right? So, there's so much to sift. And I'm just going to come down on the side of this that says, I think religious exemption is weak. I think it can be a path because of the nexus. I'd rather they didn't. And I'll leave it there. I had Mike and Terry here because those were the guys I asked not to start a war 2 weeks ago. Both Mike and Terry and I, we're now known in the CREC as the troublesome three. So isn't that great? So we're just trying to say, hey guys, kind of slow down, you know? Terry, what is that quote that you responded to what I said? That we were so focused on what we could do, say it.
I mean, it's actually a quote from Jurassic Park. That was the documentary film.
Great. Great.
So that was, no one actually got the joke on my listserv, or at least they didn't respond to me. It's supposed to be you scientists, but I thought you theologians.
Yeah.
You theologians were so focused on whether you could do it that you didn't stop to think whether you should do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the CREC was focused on whether we could, right, issue religious exemptions and whether they would work. But I don't think there's enough attention on should we do it. Again, good, godly, well-meaning people fall down on every different angle of this, including the angle that says, hey, this is all-out war, no holds barred, right? Should no holds barred, really be the first choice? And is it the best choice? And if we're really in a hot, hot, hot war, maybe it is. I think we have hotter wars even ahead. Gary, I'm going to give you the opportunity to speak after I give these two guys, we're next here. Do you guys want to say something, or do you want me to go to Gary? And these guys got tons. You think, they got ammunition that's like, I'm surprised they got through our security to get in here. They got ammunition about this, that.
Well, if I look at the third paragraph of the CREC statement, and I were to read it this way, by just removing a few words, we affirm that the liberty of the individual and families to refuse any medical procedure. And then I went on. Nobody would bother. No one would think that was terrible. That everyone, whether they're a Christian or not, whether they're religious or not, has the ability to sincerely hold a conviction and say, I don't want to do that. So why we added this Christian religion, I'm not quite sure. I don't think that doesn't sit well with me. The other thing that I'm going to throw out there, because, and I have to be honest, I haven't done enough research, but this particular fetal cell line that everyone keeps talking about, this HEK 29, 23, whatever it is, has come from a fetus that came from Sweden in the 1970s. In Sweden in the 1970s, abortion was illegal. So there's a question of whether this came from an aborted child or a child that was miscarried, which adds another whole level of complexity into this. Does the medical community have the ability to take human cells from something that's died and practice with it?
That would be like an organ donor, really.
Right. Suppose I want to, even a live person, suppose I say, hey, take a quarter of my liver and go do whatever you want with it. Is that wrong? But again, whether it's an aborted child or not, I don't know. I just saw this question come up because in Sweden it was illegal at the time. So I'd have to do more research on that. But it just lets you understand that these things, when Pastor Jim uses the word complex, the complexity is tremendous. And the need to study and dive deep is maybe over my own head. So I have to look to others that are maybe a little brighter and smarter than I am to figure some of this out. And then believe what they tell me. So I'll leave it there.
Jerry?
So where the actual factual question that you were talking about was, yes, it was illegal, but there was known to be back alley,
right.
Or not back alley, but there was known to be this under economy where there would be fetuses that weren't taken. So it's really a black box. No one knows. The guy that actually did the research and got this fetal cell line, he was brought before the Congress, and they said where'd you get this? And he says, I don't remember. That was 30 years ago. And now he's dead, so no one, there's no way that we're actually going to know.
Right.
So there's no, I kind of treat that as a black box. There's something happened, and now we have this fetal cell line. Now we have to figure out what to do with that. So I don't think that there's not enough research in the world to know for sure where exactly that cell line came from. I wrote down a couple of things. You had said in hot war, everything is kind of
all's fair in love and war.
In love and war, and Rahab is in the Faithful Hall of Fame. But I don't know that this amounts to a hot war. And really, it's we don't all of the they don't have the listserv. But even some on the listserv have said, we know that it's not really a religious exemption. The only tool that we have that's actually going to work, and that to me, it's shall we sin that grace may abound? Are we supposed to be lying so that we can get what we actually want in the world? I would say no. And nobody on that listserv, I've asked multiple times, Mike has asked multiple times, no one has actually been able to give a real religious a real religious reason why they would refuse the vaccine. They've had this religious and civil matter kind of coexisting type of a thing, but no one's come up with a reason that a secular Republican, conservative, whatever you want to call them, wouldn't agree with.
Right.
So there doesn't seem to be one out there, or at least not one that the authors of this statement knows about. So if we're going to use it, that's kind of an admission that we say it's religious, but it's not really religious. So should we be doing that? If we say we are, if we say we should be doing that, what's the limiting principle on that? So if in the future the government says that we're spending a lot of money in Medicare and Medicaid, and to reduce that, we're gonna make it so that everyone has to eat broccoli and not cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that they do that. Do we then have a religious exemption to eat cheeseburgers? And should we force the government to give us cheeseburgers? Where's the limiting principle on that? And then for this particular case, if we have the negative right to refuse the vaccine, some on the series here are saying we have a positive right to get everything that, all the privileges that go along with getting vaccinated. Not having to, being able to travel and being able to not test and
right.
get monetary benefits that some companies are giving, things like that. Do we have the positive, like, should we be forcing those businesses to positively give us money? Right. If so, do we really think that Christians are going to be employable in the future?
Well, that's a whole other level of this, yeah. But again, I don't want to, and the reason I use the example of my wife being, you know, and I being elderly, owning our own store, for our own protection, pretend we're 80, we're compromised horribly in our health, we don't want to die, right? So for us to say all patrons and all employees have to be vaccinated, do we want to lose that right in our country by saying nobody can mandate vaccines anywhere? I think it's a part of our religious and civil freedom to say, this is our store. You want to work here? You want to come here? You have to be vaccinated. Remember, because we're the ones who are going to get COVID. And we don't want to die because you didn't want to get vaccinated.
I kind of want to know what the people that are saying it's fine to say that it's a religious exemption if it's not a religious exemption. I want to know what they think submit to authorities actually means. So, like, if you have to submit to somebody, it means that you disagree with them. Well, you know, if we disagree with them on a political matter, but we can always say that all of our political matters are religious matters, yeah, then how can we possibly submit to our authorities? Like, doesn't that just take out that command?
We joked the other day, because the national religion in America is what? Self-deification, right? I'm God. So we all can always, for anything I don't want to do, I can get a religious exemption. I ought to be able to get one. As a matter of fact, because I'm God, I can write it myself. So, do we want to live in a world where no one can ever tell me what to do? Gary. You had your hand up. Right.
To the Jews about food, but he was talking about everything else.
I
including ideas.
Yeah.
So either way, whether you agree with these so-called vaccinations or use a religious exemption because of fetal cells, vote up to you.
For me, this whole thing is about trust. We don't trust the government. Nobody does. And they've earned our distrust. That's the calamity we find ourselves in. They've absolutely earned our distrust. But if this is a civil right, I would rather this be fought on a ground that's different than the ground we're fighting it on. Yes, Lee?
There might be an opportunity there, a civil right objection.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article in the New American. If they come to your door and they want to know if you're vaccinated, they're sending out their medical assistants and whatever, government authorized, to find out if you've been vaccinated. They suggested a strategy, you know, that's pretty interesting. They said, what you can tell them is that I'm going to use the HIPAA law.
Right.
And this I'm not going to discuss any medical
treatments
or plans with you, only with my doctor.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Yes. And you'll be protected in the court of law. Yep. So that's these termite tactics that are the way most civil rights end up having success. And people unjustly being hauled away and going to jail or losing their job or whatever. Yep. Michael.
One of the things that's interesting about the HIPAA laws is that the HIPAA laws exist here in the United States. They do not exist everywhere. So for instance, if you lived in England, you get all your health care through the National Health Care Service, and they have all your information. And so you have no HIPAA protection. Which, oh, by the way, is something that being pushed here in the United States.
And we're going to wrap this up. Again, I just wanted to share with you this turmoil we all find ourselves in. And, you know, please be praying for us. We have a voice in the CREC. We're a voice crying in the wilderness to just kind of, guys, be careful what you're doing here. And again, maybe somebody's going to get back to me and says, this has nothing to do with us, CREC, authoring and issuing religious exemptions, even though I know that they're doing that. That statement is, as far as I know, the statement is the only thing that is a denominationally wide statement. Are you following me there? So we'll see. And I'm being very generous with that and forgetting that they are presuming that this is all about issuing an exemption for the vaccine. Because this has legs. If you get a religious exemption for vaccination, why can't you get a religious exemption for mandated mask wearing, right? Or a whole bunch of things that we would find less intrusive and less cumbersome. No end to it. Hey, we're at quarter after. I don't, raise your hand if you think this is the most ill-advised Sunday school lesson you've ever been involved in. Well, we've survived. We haven't hit rock bottom yet. Yes, I agree. That was partly why we're here today, so we'll see. Father God in heaven, thank you for your grace, and we ask that you would help us, Lord. And I pray for this this congregation of your saints here. And Lord, I want them to know that their elders are interceding, Lord, for them and trying to do what's right by them and represent them well. And at the same time, Father, I pray that you would help us, that our congregation members would come to us and help us, Lord, where we're lacking in understanding. So help us to be in this, Lord, as your body, Lord. Far different from the flippant ways that our leaders say we're all in this together. Help us to really be in this as your people. Thank you for the preciousness of the faith that you have given to us, and we pray that we would not dilute it, Lord, in any means. Lord, strengthen us as we come to our worship hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for your attention.